Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Hey, this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
We'd like to ask you to join us. Thank you for joining us, and grab your coffee. Get a Bible, and we are in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37 to 39. But first, we have found out the whole Bible is to be sung. It's alphanumeric, and the whole Bible is musical. The Jews sang the whole of the Old Testament, and we also sing the Old and the New. This is, where are you singing, Brett?
So this scripture, the Holy Spirit pulled these scriptures together in a melody that I was playing one day. And it starts off in 1 Peter, and it jumps over to Isaiah 34:16 and ends in 2 Timothy chapter 3:16-17.
But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men born on by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Seek from the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these will be missing, nor one lack its mate. For his mouth has commanded it, and his Spirit gathers them. His Spirit gathers them. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men born on by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, having been thoroughly equipped for every good work. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men born on by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. But men born on by the Holy Spirit spoke from God.
We're in Matthew 23. We're finishing up Matthew 23. Jesus is still in the temple, and he got done really chiding the religious leaders of the day, be like our ministers, our clergy, any of us that teach the Bible, and we have to pay strong attention to this. We don't want Jesus on our bad side, and we want to be serving him. So this is the end, the last context, and this is Jesus crying out at the end, and then Jesus is going to go out of the temple as we begin chapter 24, but he's still in the temple, and he's crying out.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killeth the prophets, and stoneth those sent unto her, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you would not. Lo, your house is left unto you. For I say unto you, you shall in no wise see me henceforth, till you say, Blessed who cometh in the Lord's name.
That's a interesting context, isn't it? Then we're going to get into a place I like to start when I teach the Revelation teaching. Revelation in the Greek is apokalypsis. The veil is taken away. And Jesus is going to take the veil away. And isn't it interesting? This is the first book that we're supposed to learn about. If Ivan Panin is correct, this is the first book. It's the first step in our walking with Jesus. We repent. And then he said, come and follow me. So we come and follow him. And he gives assurance in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. Actually, why don't you read that? Because when I quote it, I kind of cut it back a little bit. I'd like you to read it more accurately. It has to do with God the Father fighting for us and Jesus. And Jesus is our Lord, and he fights for us, and in all the way that we go, he has carried us like a father carries his son. So Deuteronomy 1, verses 30 and 31. Brett's going to read that, the full amount, not just my little snippet of it.
Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. Yahweh your God, who goes before you, will himself fight on your behalf, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where you saw how Yahweh your God carried you, just as a man carries his son, in all the way which you have walked until you have come to this place.
That's a real tender scripture, isn't it? He fights for us. I'm a very protective father. I get that one. And when the kids are young, Carolee raised the children primarily, but when we went places, I was always the one that liked to carry them. I love carrying my kids, and I carried my grandkids. When I had two grandkids, it was great because I got two arms, and when the third one came along, Alex, I'm looking at the poor kid, and I'm going, I'm kind of full right here. So then you have to let the older one down and then start carrying the next one younger, but it's kind of, I didn't like leaving that older one down yet. That took me a little bit of time to digest that one when you get used to carrying your kids. So those are dear times. I always carried I remember carrying Christina. We went to the beach when it was really cold, so we had her really bundled up so she wouldn't be breathing cold air and different things. And people would meet us on the beach like, what do you have in there? And we'd pop it open enough for them to see a little tiny 5 pounds, so many ounce baby. She was really little, but we'd still go to the beach and so on with her, but I'd be carrying him and protecting him. I get a vision of that being a dad.
Yeah.
So did you get a vision of that too?
Yeah. I mean, I've got three girls with me, and they're joyful when I come home, and they always want to be snuggled up, and I love it.
Yeah. So get them they really feel close. The protection and the carrying.
Yeah.
And they got the cutest names.
I saw something I hadn't thought of in a while, is that my dad would have all of my cousins' children when they were little. They would all run to him, and he would be carrying three or four of them around the house. They would love to jump up. I mean, he was a big man, so they would all jump up on him, even if they'd first met him, and would hold to him. Is that crazy?
Yeah. And you got a visionary, I can tell it.
I know.
A dear view of his dad. His dad was, he was a manager in a, like a rock crusher.
Yeah, quarry.
Quarry. And he was stoutly built, and you could be afraid of him, you know, if you didn't really know Jay, if you didn't know him personally, but you'd look at him and he was, you could see the tenderness.
Yeah.
And
that's funny.
The protection and yet the tenderness
yeah.
of a father.
Right.
Somebody want to read, actually, this is a long context, Matthew 24, and we want to read this in the light of its full context. You're not going to see the rapture anywhere in this context, and it's one of the best views of the last days and Jesus' return. And there's going to be two contexts in chapter 24, and let's see if we see this word rapture any place in here.
And Jesus went out from the temple and was going on, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple.
Oh, so now, isn't this interesting? The temple is still in the focus, Andy. To understand the last days, the temple is in the focus, and he spent
all
these—
It's literally in the picture, isn't it?
Yeah, so keep the temple in your mind. It was Solomon's temple. It had, again, three major chambers. It had the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies in it. And every church we ever see has only got one room. And they call it the sanctuary, but it's not built right. The temple before Jesus died on the cross had three rooms, the outer court, then they would go into the holy place after they did certain things that honored looking ahead to our salvation and how we're saved and our path that leads to the Father through the Son and the Holy Spirit. And through three things, how our prayers lead to God, reading the Bible leads to God, having fellowship with one another leads to God. So he's talking about this building in the center of Jerusalem, and it's called the temple. It has three rooms, and there's an activity, always an activity going on in this. It wasn't just for an hour or two on Sunday and then Wednesday. It was
day and night.
Day and night.
Things were going on in that temple.
They were.
And his disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple. But he answered and said to them, "See you not all these things? Amen, I say unto you, in no wise shall one stone be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things shall be, and what the sign of the presence and consummation of the age." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one lead you astray. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See ye not be troubled, for it must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and famine shall be, and earthquakes in diverse places. But all things, and all these, are the beginning of travails. Then shall they deliver you up into tribulation, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all the nations for my name's sake. And then many shall stumble, and shall deliver up one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because the lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of many shall wax cold. But who endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole inhabited earth for a witness unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. When therefore you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let him that readeth understand, then let them in. Judea flee unto the mountains, and let the one on the housetop not go down to take out the things in his house. And let the one in the field not return back to take his cloak. But woe to those with child and to those giving suck in those days. And pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on a Sabbath, for then shall be great tribulation, such as hath not been from the world's beginning until now, no, nor ever shall. And except those days had been shortened, no flesh would have been saved, but for the elect's sake days shall be shortened. Then if anyone say to you, lo, here is the Christ, or here, believe it not. For false Christ shall arise and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Lo, I have told you before, if therefore they shall say to you, lo, he's in the wilderness, go not forth. Lo, in the inner chambers, believe not. For just as the lightning comes forth from the east and is seen even to the west, so shall be the presence of the Son of Man. Wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagle be gathered. But straightway after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the heaven with power and glory, and great glory. And he shall send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the heaven's ends unto the ends. Now from the fig tree learn the parable. When her branch is now become tender and putteth forth the leaves, you know that summer is nigh. Thus you also, when you see these things, know that he is nigh at the doors. Amen, I say unto you, this race shall not pass away till all these things come to pass. The heaven and the earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But if that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heavens, neither the Son, but the Father only. For just as the days of Noah shall be the presence of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage till the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took all away, so shall be the presence of the Son of Man. Then shall two be in the field, one is taken along, one is left. Two women grinding at the mill, one is taken along, one is left. Watch therefore, for you know not what day your Lord cometh. But know this, if the housemaster had known what watch the thief was coming, he would have watched, and it would not suffered his house to be dug through. Therefore you also ready, for in an hour that you think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is the faithful and wise bondman whom the Lord hath set over his household to give them their food in season? Blessed that bondman whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. Amen, I say to you, that he will set him over all he hath. But if that evil bondman shall say in his heart, my Lord tarrieth, and shall begin to beat his fellow bondmen, and shall eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that bondman shall come in the day when he expecteth not, and in an hour when he knoweth not, and shall severely scourge him, and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Well, we just read all the way through Matthew chapter 24. There's another place in the scripture. Is it in Luke where it's found, one taken and one left? If somebody could find that, please, while we start going through this. I'd like to read that because there's an interesting comparison of the mate scripture. It gives a little bit more light as to what is taken and what is left. There's also a parable that talks about what is one is taken and one is left. And we'll get into that. And it's very clear who's taken, and it's exactly the opposite of the way it's being taught in churches today to try to prove the rapture teaching. It's exactly, it shows the opposite. And as a matter of fact, there is a psalm. I think we have time to read Psalms 37. Let's read that. And you see, and there's like seven different instances. It looks at it seven different ways. In Psalms 37, who is taken and who is left. And then there's some comparisons also in the parables. And within the next two radio shows, we will show you that, who really is taken and who is left. And you'll find out at least seven times here, that the wicked are taken away, but the righteous are always left, pertaining the earth. And it says the heaven and the heaven of heavens are the Lord's, plural again, but the earth he has given unto the sons of men. This is Psalms 37. You want to read that one, Brett?
Sure. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards doers of unrighteousness, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in Yahweh and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in Yahweh, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to Yahweh. Trust in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Be still in Yahweh and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out schemes of wickedness. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who hope for Yahweh, they will inherit the land.
Okay, so who's going to be left? The wicked are cut off.
Mm-hmm.
This is number one.
Those who hope for the Lord.
And the ones that wait for Yahweh, wait on the Lord, gather together in expectation of his coming, they will inherit the land. Okay, that was verse 9. How about verse 10? Keep going.
Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more.
Oh, isn't that what they teach in rapture, that all of a sudden you got a pilot and he's a Christian and all of a sudden he's going to be no more?
Your pilot's gone, the plane's going to crash.
Well, actually, the Bible says he's wicked.
Right.
Okay, keep going. This is really interesting. This is not the only place.
Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. You will look carefully at this place, and he will not be there. But the lowly will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked schemes against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and bent their bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. Their sword will enter their own heart, and their bows will be broken. Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked will be broken, but Yahweh sustains the righteous. Yahweh knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil, and in the days of famine they will be satisfied. But the wicked will perish, and the enemies of Yahweh will be like the glory of the pastures. They will vanish. In smoke they vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives. For those blessed by him will inherit the land, but those cursed by him will be cut off.
Okay, so there's three now. The second one is really apparent in verses 9, 10, and 11. It says, especially in 10, or 9, it says, those who wait for Yahweh will inherit the land, yet a little while and the wicked will be no more. They're going to be gone. And you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there, but the humble will inherit the land. I think that could actually be three times that's said so far. And then this later one is the wicked borrow does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives. Those blessed by the Lord will inherit the land, and those cursed by him will be cut off. That's a good two or three or four times so far. Keep going, Brett. We're in verse 23,
yep.
Right?
Yep, 23. The footsteps of a man are established by Yahweh, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because Yahweh is the one who sustains his hand. I was young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread. All day long he is gracious and lends, and his seed is a blessing. Depart from evil and do good, so you will dwell forever. For Yahweh loves justice and will not forsake his holy ones. They are kept forever, but the seed of the wicked will be cut off and dwell in it forever.
So that's at least four or five times now. The descendants of the wicked are cut off, but the righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. It never says they're going to go to another place. Dwell in it forever. What does that mean? Okay. Verse what, 30?
Verse 30. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to put him to death. Yahweh will not forsake him in his hand. He will not condemn him when he is judged. Hope for Yahweh and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in its native soil. Then he passed away, and behold, he was no more. I sought for him, but he could not be found. Observe the blameless man, and behold the upright, for the man of peace will have posterity.
Posterity. He'll live forever. He'll have posterity, and his kids will follow him. He'll have his posterity. He'll live forever, never be cut off, and his kids will have posterity.
But the transgressors will be altogether destroyed. The posterity of the wicked will be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from Yahweh. He is their strength in time of distress. Yahweh helps them and protects them. He protects them from the wicked and saves them, because they take refuge in him.
There's six or seven times that he says the righteous are going to be here forever. Their posterity will be here, but the wicked will be cut off. Some places it shows they're going to disappear. And that is the teaching of rapture. And rapture is the Greek word harpazo. Ooh, harpazo. A whale is harpazo. Do you think the whale likes that?
I'd say not.
And also the word rape comes from that word harpazo. But we are, the scripture resurrection is found 108 times? How many times, Andy?
I think it's in the 140s.
140s for the word resurrection. Until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."